from game one.
Bounce down to Giannis. Catches on Tice. Hook shot down with a foul.
To game 72.
It is in the bank. It is earning interest. This one is over.
And beyond.
And the magic number for clinching the top seed in the Eastern Conference
is down to one. The place to be for the big picture on the Bucks. This is Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all. Trends, tendencies, and trajectories of your Milwaukee Bucks, as well as all around the NBA.
I think this team is going to be even better than the last couple of years, and those teams are pretty darn good.
Now, here's your hosts, Justin Garcia and Greg Matzek.
Well, defense optional tonight at Fiserv Forum, but a win nonetheless for the Bucks. It's fourth straight, 129-125. However, in a game that featured 254 points, it came down to a key play on defense that sealed the deal for the Bucks.
Williamson to front Giannis, looking to get it in. Still looking. Into Middleton. Ball is batted away and stolen. Oh, my. Ingram to Hart. Ingram straight away. 4 seconds. Ingram driving down to Williamson. Offensive foul on Ingram. Guess who drew it? Dante the Disruptor.
Pretty impressive performance by the Bucks' young guard, Dante DiVincenzo, stepping into a starring role tonight at point guard with no Jrue Holiday, no DJ Augustine. And he comes up with a career-high 24 and maybe the defensive play of the game. We welcome you to Bucks Talk. I'm Greg Matzek along with Justin Garcia, who witnessed tonight's game at Fiserv Forum along with 1,800 or so of his closest friends. Defense optional, I guess, when these teams meet, Justin. That's a combined, let's see here, 511 points in the two games these teams have played. But it's kind of funny how things work out like that, right? I mean, it comes down to almost a critical defensive play for the Pelicans to keep the game alive, and then on the other end, it's Dante taking a charge outside of the restricted area with about 3 seconds left. So it was there when it needed to be, I guess, tonight.
Well, yeah, I mean, that was certainly the play of the game, I think, but I mean, also, we have to recalibrate what we think is high scoring, you know, that we've really seen it amplified this year and since the bubble with the offenses just coming into a groove across the league, and certainly when you already have offensive talent like Giannis and Chris and Zion Williamson, you're going to score even more. But there was 12 teams that played tonight. Six of those teams scored 120 or more, and I want to say all but three scored 100, and those other three that were in the 100s were all at around 115. So we're reaching the point where basically you feel like you're going to see 120 a night from any given team.
You know, it was tied at 103, I think, after the third quarter. You know what they would have called that game in 1994? Overtime.
Whoa, that would have been triple overtime, yeah.
Right, just a total. I mean, but it does have that exhibition all-star game kind of feel to it and pace. I mean, it was scoring at will, I guess, tonight. And, you know, really the percentages, I guess, aren't overly gaudy. It's just the pace and number of possessions and the fact that both teams nearly got up 100 shots tonight. You know, that's where the NBA has really grown. That's pretty impressive stuff. But Dante tonight specifically, we'll get into our stat of the day coming up in a moment. What a huge game for him. I don't know if you want to call it a breakthrough game, but it was certainly a unique opportunity. He was running point, I mean, exclusively. There were very few guards available for Mike Budenholzer tonight with DJ Augustine and Jrue Holiday out, both for very different reasons. Not only stepping into a different role, but it's like it amplified his game. Sometimes you take on a little bit more in one aspect, and maybe it takes a little bit away from what you typically do. But he was fun to watch tonight, man. That's good for him. I'm proud of the guy. 24 points, a career high, 9 of 16 from the field, and just seemed to be involved in everything.
Yeah, and I think what I was most encouraged by was, well, I guess, first and foremost, him. You know, we're going to talk about, and we have talked about, the charge that he drew, but that final minute, Dante DiVincenzo made two of the biggest plays of the game, where that three-pointer that he attempted, he knew immediately that it was off and crashed the boards, got the offensive rebound off of his own miss, gave the Bucks an additional 14 seconds that basically meant they could have drained the shot clock down to just the Pelicans have 20 seconds to take a shot, which is what we saw. That and then the charge, obviously, but he made shots in the second half. And I think what's been noticeable about Dante in some of these big games that he's had in terms of point production this season is, and we saw it, you know, for stretches tonight too, where he'll start off hitting shots in the first half, and he's up to 13, 15. Tonight it was 17. And then we just kind of see it disappear. Where during that losing streak, I think it was one of the Toronto Raptors games where he was up to 16 or so points at halftime and finished the game with 18. That seems to be kind of what we saw, where you start to get up the hill and then you don't finish the climb. And tonight it was the opposite, where I know he only scored 7 in the second half, but he didn't take that many shots in the second half either. So it wasn't like he went cold. He was just playing within the system, and Giannis started to take over, and Chris a lot more in those final 24 minutes. He just provided this team with what we've talked about in the past, needing that other guy. That especially when Drew is out, you notice it more. But when Giannis can't get to the rim or when Chris doesn't have a good look, you need that other guy that you trust is going to hit a shot when he gets open. And tonight that was Dante.
Everybody in here, stats.
I know you all like stats, so let me give you some.
Boss, here's our stat for the day.
Forgive me for not doing the advanced calculation here and putting together his last 10 games, so I could probably figure it out here in a moment. Free-flowing, pretty good pace to tonight's game. Let's see, it started about 8:48, I think. I mean, this is a pretty quick-moving game for an ESPN game as part of the national TV broadcast. Not a lot of fouls in tonight's game, but Giannis was sent to the line 10 times. He hit 8 free throws. He has found something here from the free throw line, and I hope it's sustainable. And we're in about a 10-game stretch or so where he's knocking down 74% of his free throws. And That's a number that's been on the rise here since a brutal start. He was at a career low for the first 20 or so games here. So I don't know if it's the late-night practice sessions here, Justin, but he's found a level of consistency over these last 10 games from the line that has been hard to come by really throughout his career. So very encouraging stuff. The three-point game, that's always going to be, I think, a bit of a work in progress. But the free-throw line is really where he can help himself and help this team beyond all the other incredible things he does. But that's difference making tonight. 8 of 10 from the line on a night where very few fouls are scored and you win by 4. He's found something there, and I hope it continues, because it looks more comfortable than it has in the past.
Well, I mean, it's more than 10. I mean, it's more like 15 plus that for the entire month of February, as we talked about on Courtside Live before the game as well, Greg. He is shooting 76%, I think, from the free throw line. And I think it coincides with one of the changes that he made was, it was right around the time we saw him get that 10-second violation where he was still kind of workshopping a few different things. But now what we've seen is he's basically told the official, I'm going to go through the routine in my head and I'm going to just visualize it. Give me the ball when I call for it and I'll tell you I'm ready. It's taking more than 10 seconds, but it's because he's getting the ball later, and that seems to have helped, because since he's doing that, he's at about 75, 76%. And, we've seen a lot of these high volume games as well, which I think also helps him, because when he gets to the line 20 times or more, he's hitting at around 80%. That it was 19 to 24 the other night. He had an 18 to 21, I believe, in just a few games before that. So he's getting to the line quite a bit, and I think that helps with it as well. And that's going to be very important in the playoffs, because this team has actually been a pretty good half-court offense so far this season. I think a lot of that has to do with Drew Holiday for some of the things we talked about on the last show. But their half-court offense, they're scoring more points per 100 possessions in the half-court than they did last year. And the efficiency, I think they're the second-best team in the half-court this season. That we often think about the Bucks as only a fast-break team, but that's been different. And, teams aren't going to be able to just say, screw it, we're going to foul him repeatedly if he's going to hit 75% of free throws. That all it takes is a couple of games where you try to do a hack of Giannis and he goes, you know, 10 of 12 or 14 of 17, where you say, all right, I guess we can't do this anymore. So that's something to keep an eye on in the second half of the season. I'm going to stick with Dante DiVincenzo, and this was something I pointed out on that Courtside Live show, Greg, but I don't know if this is a thing or not. I guess we'll just continue to monitor it and see where it goes from here. But entering play tonight, Dante DiVincenzo had the sixth highest offensive rating of any player in the NBA in the fourth quarter. The other five players in front of him are all from the Brooklyn Nets, and then I believe Rudy Gobert of the Jazz. Those are the five guys in front of him. But for players that have played at least 20 games and average at least 7 minutes a game in the fourth quarter, Dante's individual offensive rating in the fourth quarter is the sixth best in the NBA. Better than Chris, better than Giannis, better than Drew Holiday as well. So if you found something here where he becomes that reliable guy and you get Drew Holiday back, then this offense gets really interesting for the second half.
Do you have your own makeup guy or gal for a Courtside Live? I mean, you're on camera a long time for this, especially during an 8-game homestand.
Yeah, I am my own makeup guy, so I've had to invest in makeup and like facial cleaners and usually asking people on set like, "Can I borrow your mirror?" Or just pulling up the phone and turning into selfie mode, you know?
Yeah, no, hey, do what you got to do. We could have also done, as part of our stat of the night here, we could have done the Pat Connaughton on the floor counter, because I think we added like nine to that list tonight, and a bloody nose or mouth. So it's just, Pat was all over the place, man. I don't know if you've been keeping track, but tonight might have been a personal record. He was on the floor a lot.
Yeah, there was the one sequence, too, where he really wanted the foul call, and I think it was on Brandon Ingram. And I was surprised we didn't see Pat get teed up, which I don't know that we've seen in a Bucks uniform. But there was a long stare and, you know, exasperated look and hands going up in the air where you could tell, I think they're teetering here on whether or not they're going to tee him up. So we saw Pat on the floor quite a bit tonight.
So I think the play that caught my attention, it was Lonzo going to the rack, and he tried to kind of wipe Pat away and then clipped him in the face. So he's on the ground, he's bleeding, and on the TV version, they showed a slow-mo of it, and Pat was looking at the official with blood in his hand and on the floor saying, "You think I did this to myself?" were the exact words he said. That's great.
Which would be a great strategy to do, too.
Yeah, hack yourself. Boys used to do that in high school hoops, man. Get the ball down low, go up in the trees, hit yourself on the wrist as you put it up. All I do is hear something, you get sent to the line. Well, if you can make that shot, too, that's even more impressive. 129-125, the final. Oh, yeah, he had to get away with tricks, man. I was only 6'2 and a half, 6'3. In the trees there? Bucks pick up its fourth straight victory. I do want to touch on the second half schedule a little bit. We'd love to hear from you at 855-616-1620. Why was DJ out tonight? When is Drew coming back? We'll explore that and more coming up. It's Bucks Talk on 94.5 ESPN and 620 WTMJ.
The Hardwood Homilies continue after this. This is Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all. You're listening to Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all.
DiVincenzo for three, good again. Double D does it again. DiVincenzo with his third three. Bucks take a one-point lead.
24 for Dante DiVincenzo, 38 for Giannis, 31 for Middleton. So the duo goes over 30 combined, nearly 70 combined, each over 30 points once again in a 129-125 victory. The Bucks have won four straight, now 20-13 on the season. The homestand continues. Should be a good one Sunday afternoon. Afternoon basketball at Fiserv Forum against the Clippers. Greg Matzik and Justin Garcia with you. This is Bucks Talk. Greg Hill producing the program. Eric Bledsoe back in Milwaukee tonight, Justin. You go back to the game they played earlier this year in New Orleans, and it was a ridiculous display of three-point shooting between Lonzo Ball and Eric Bledsoe. Tonight, not bad. Any night, if they shoot 10 of 20 from three combined, decent numbers. What they did to Milwaukee earlier this season was extremely unordinary. But Bledsoe back in a Bucks uniform, and some fans in the stands, I guess, to greet him, but you know, not necessarily a full house. Maybe didn't get the, you know, kind of a return of a friend welcome that you'd normally get, but Bledsoe back in Milwaukee. Very emotional return.
Yeah, it was unfortunate that it wasn't, you know, a time where we're able to have this as a full building, because I think he would have been warmly received. That I think, yeah, as disappointing as the playoff exits were, Eric Bledsoe was a guy that really helped the Bucks get to the next level. He was a great teammate, he was great in the community, and he was just a really likable guy. And I think the more you were around him, the more you got to understand that and see why his teammates to this day still revere him. And you see the relationship he still has with Chris and Giannis and all those guys that he, and Bud, too. He played his best basketball here in a Bucks uniform. He was an all-defensive first-team player 2 years ago, second team last year. His first year here, he was third in the NBA in steals. So he helped get you to that next level. And I think fans would have shown their gratitude and been appreciative for it. And I talked about it with Jim Paschke before this game on the other show. And
what's that show again?
It's a show called Courtside Live. You know, we both talked about our experiences with Bledsoe, and I didn't have quite as many as Jim did. But, you know, and Greg, you talked with him as well. The thing that struck me about Bledsoe was he was very guarded initially, but the more you were around him, the more he kind of let you in. And he gave off this gruff exterior where he was very standoffish. And it couldn't have been further from the truth in terms of who he really was. That once he was around you more and let his guard down, he was maybe the best guy on the team to talk to and would give you some of the best stuff. And I think that's why his teammates revered him as much as they did, and why, I keep going back to, he was just such a likable guy that, you know, he's a guy that you wish there were more people in the stands that could have shown their appreciation for him.
Yeah, you know, I think what he represents in Milwaukee's history of basketball is sort of a, hey, we're going for it kind of mentality. Just think about the trade that was made. Greg Monroe chooses Milwaukee. Wow, that never happens. A free agent chooses Milwaukee. It was a huge to-do. Chris Middleton helped bring him to Milwaukee. And then he was spun less than a year later for Eric Bledsoe. And to me, that was a, we got a strike here because we got a budding superstar in Giannis. We need somebody else who can create and attack and is tough. What Eric Bledsoe represented was kind of a go-for-it mentality that really hadn't existed in Milwaukee in a number of years. I mean, it was a level of seriousness, I thought, with that move that was critical to the team's growth. And they kept adding pieces around, and Chris developed, obviously, and, you know, a couple wins away from the NBA Finals, Bledsoe was a part of that. But you're right. I mean, the playoff Bled was a thing, and I know he had some anxiety issues, too, that he was public about that it may have crept up on him during some of those games, but I'll never forget what he represented. Bledsoe was a key figure for the Milwaukee Bucks, and I'm happy to have Drew Holiday. I think he's a different kind of player, and we've seen just how steady and clutch he is, and he's certainly got a good track record in the playoffs, but Bledsoe will always represent kind of that go-for-it mentality that the Bucks lacked for a number of years.
Do you, you know, as we speak about their backcourt in Lonzo Ball and Eric Bledsoe. So that first game, they combined to score 52 points and were 14 of 27 on threes. Bledsoe was 7 of 14. Lonzo Ball was 7 of 13. If I asked you, what is Lonzo Ball's career three-point shooting percentage, what would you guess?
He's been really good this year. I think he's around.
Very
I was
good.
Looking this
yeah.
up because I saw poor. I was looking at Bryn Forbes' numbers and noticed that Bobby Portis is like top five in the league. I want to say he's over 45% this year, but career, I'd say he's probably in the low to mid 30s.
He is. So he's dropped to 39%, but I think at the time, the first matchup between these two, Bledsoe was 39 or 40, and Lonzo Ball was above 40 at that point. But he's a career 35% three-point shooter, which is even higher than I imagined. But I guess, you know, as much as we knocked it in the first game, we have seen him consistently be a much better shooter starting with really the second half of the season last year. And I know he did go through some struggles in the bubble, but he has consistently been a better shooter the last year plus, and 39% this year in his two games against the Bucks this season. He's 13 of 23. on three-pointers. But the difference between the two games was, as we mentioned, they were 14 to 27 on threes in that first game, and the Pelicans as a team hit 21. So the rest of their teammates went, 7 to 21 in that game. And tonight it was just the complete opposite, where, again, they both hit a lot of threes, and you mentioned it, they were 10 to 20. But outside of that, nobody else was hitting threes. I mean, at one point, Brandon Ingram was 0 of 7 on threes. He finished 1 of 10. And you take out you take out Bledsoe and Lonzo, and the Pelicans went 3 of 19 on threes in this game.
What did you think of Zion? Is that your first time seeing him up close? I mean, really up close?
So, look, I have to come clean with this. I am not a big Zion fan or believer in that, yeah, this guy's going to be a prolonged successful career that he's going to have. I mean, I think there are some conditioning issues that we've seen, but you can't deny it almost was like the Spider-Man meme at times when you looked at Giannis and Lonzo, and I keep confusing the two, and Zion on the floor together, because there was a couple of plays, too, where Zion sets up behind the three-point line, and even Brook Lopez, you see him really sagging back, and they're giving Zion basically the entire perimeter, like we've seen teams do to Giannis. But even still, as much as the Bucks packed the paint, and they did slow him down in the second half, he was still able to get to the basket, and there was a handful of plays where he was going right at Brook Lopez and Bobby Portis, and there was one where he attacked Giannis where you just thought, there's no chance he's scoring here, and he still finishes. So I may have to eat crow, because Zion looked pretty great tonight, and I know that's been the trend for him in these last 10 games especially.
He is a beast in the paint. He is just devastating in there. But I don't – you just take he and Giannis – combined in the NBA tonight, were there two more dominant paint performers than what we saw in Milwaukee? I was amazed. And really, I thought Brook actually did a pretty decent job in the second half. They got a key block on him that led to a Giannis dunk that I think made it a three-point game for the Bucks. That was a huge play. And I don't know that defense is ever going to be Zion's strong suit, but when he gets it in the paint, it is nearly over. He can do so much damage in there. I was impressed. I mean, certainly strength is not an issue, right? I mean, he's got the frame and got the body. How long can he take the pounding? How long can he jump like that and attack like that and land comfortably? Like, at some point, I do wonder when that's going to catch up, but he's a beast, man. No doubt about it. That dude is a tank.
Yeah, I agree. I think Brook did a pretty good job, and I this might have been the best game we've seen from Brook Lopez this season, but I think what really helped him was the Bucks knew, all right, we're going to let Zion take anything outside of the free throw line that he wants, so I can sag off a little more. And to the point that you brought up too about two dominant guys in the paint, I mean, Giannis coming into play tonight had the most field goals in the restricted area in the fourth quarter, which again is very telling that once he gets that close, you would assume you'll just foul him, but we might see those numbers start to change because of his free throw consistency. And the only player in the league that had attempted more shots in the restricted area than Giannis has is Zion, not only in the fourth quarter, but season as a whole.
129-125, if you'd like to join us, it's 855-616-1620. How do you digest tonight's game? Win number 4 in a row for the streaking Milwaukee Bucks. Win 5, lose 5. A chance to win 5 again comes Sunday against the Los Angeles Clippers. Coming up next, did Sam Merrill play tonight? We'll run the give and go, walk around the league, take a look at the second half schedule as well. Plenty to go here. It's Bucks Talk.
Stick around. Bucks Talk continues next. Presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all.
More. It's what everybody wants. More belly laughs. More relaxation. More out of life. To make more possible for us all, the Frederick and the Medical College of Wisconsin Health Network offers the unmatched power of academic medicine. It starts with leading-edge research that brings breakthrough treatments here first, and the latest discoveries in specialty areas like heart, cancer, orthopedics, neurology, and transplant. Also, a dad in Oak Creek gets to spend more time with his kids. Or a teacher in Waukesha gets more tomorrows. It's advanced care with teams of specialists focused on your exact medical condition to give you every advantage. Because at the Froedtert and the Medical College of Wisconsin Health Network, when we do everything possible, everything humanly possible, you can too. To find a provider, call 1-800-DOCTORS or visit Froedtert.com.
We go beyond the call of duty, Semper Fi.
I'm going to be crystal clear and be assured that what I say, we will back up. Quality workmanship. You want a crew that's going to promise and deliver it for your new roof, siding, window installation, or masonry work. We expect to be held accountable. We're not perfect. No one is. But we won't walk away from your job until you're satisfied. Our military background roots us in honor, integrity, and commitment. We take pride in being high-character people who hire high-character workers. We treat them right, and there's no less than the highest expectation that they'll treat you the same. I'm Brad Youngbluth with Semper Fi Roofing and Exteriors, your local, veteran-owned and operated exterior remodeling company. Vets aren't talkers, we're doers. For your new roof, siding, window and door installation, or masonry work, we will go beyond the call of duty.
We go beyond the call of duty, Semper Fi.
SemperFiRoofing.com.
As businesses kick back into gear, catering for meetings and gatherings will be a need. Marty's wants you to know you have options. You can still order 5-foot pizzas, or we can deliver dozens of smaller pizzas. You can order a pasta tray or a boatload of individual dinners. Large sub trays or a whole bunch of boxed meals with a sub, chips, and a cookie for each person. Marty's Pizza, catering specialists, sensitive to keeping you safe. Brookfield, Delafield, or martyspizza.net.
When the going gets tough, the tough get going to Marty's Pizza. Hey, you want to stretch your family's meal dollar? Come to Marty's. Our square pizzas are 27% larger than the other guys' round pizzas. And I'll tell you what, 27% larger means 27% more value. And we load the toppings just the way you love it. Marty's Pizza in Brookfield or Delafield. Why cook tonight?
This is Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all.
Ball knocked away by Portis, picked up by Merrill. Sam Merrill continues on, lays it good! Sam Merrill gives the Bucks a 2-point lead, 103-101.
WTMJ, ESPN Wisconsin. Thanks for joining us. It's Greg Matzik and Justin Garcia. So there's an Eric Bledsoe tribute video tonight. Justin, right? Is that right? Eric Bledsoe tribute video was played before the game tonight. About 1,800 fans or so at the arena. I wonder if there was a J.J. Redick tribute video. Do we know if that existed? Was there a J.J. Redick tribute video? Boy, you talk about an underpublicized storyline. You get the return of Eric Bledsoe. He comes back. He's at Pfizer form again, a place he played so well, and had some nice seasons for the Milwaukee Bucks. Poor J.J. Redick, right? Has that cup of coffee with the Bucks, helps guide them to the playoffs, and oh, wait, no, that didn't end terribly well. There was no J.J. Redick tribute video tonight. But it was a Bucks win, 129-125, the final. And amazingly, it was defense that sort of paved the way for the Bucks down the stretch. Dante DiVincenzo not only grabbing an offensive rebound after a missed three, but just seconds after Chris Middleton had the ball stripped away from him as the clock was winding down and the Pelicans looking to tie the ball game, maybe send it to overtime, Dante DiVincenzo drew a charge Brandon Ingram, the guilty party, and that paved the way. Bucks hit a free throw on the other end and end up securing a four-point victory. So Dante in a starring role in the starting five, playing the point guard position tonight. DJ Augustine out for the birth of a child. Jrue Holiday was in street clothes and on the bench, still unable to participate. He's getting closer, according to Mike Budenholzer. It might just be that you see him after the All-Star break when the second half of the season resumes. That'll be March 11th. So kind of a strange schedule here for the Bucks. It is a relentless...
All right, experiencing a little technical difficulties as we do at every time at 12:15 in the morning with a local postgame show. So what we're going to do, I'm going to make sure that we get Greg and Justin back. So for our affiliates out there, wait a minute, hold on, we might have them. Greg Matzinger, are you back?
I didn't know I went anywhere.
We lost you for a bit, but you're back.
At what point was I talking about the J.J. Redick tribute video?
Yeah,
is that about the time you lost me?
You were just going on about the J.J. Redick tribute video. I think you were upset. You didn't make that clear, but we kind of lost you there, so maybe reconvene and we'll get back on track.
That is too bad, unfortunately. I was diving into the second half of the schedule, though, for those keeping score at home. There is a crazy stretch here of games in which the Bucks will play teams from the Western Conference. They'll mix in one home game here on April 9th against the Charlotte Hornets, but surrounding that one home game, there is six road contests leading up to it, and then three on the back end. So 9 out of 10 games will be played on the road here at the end of March and the first couple of weeks in April. So a significant stretch here for the Milwaukee Bucks at a critical time. Coming up here a little bit later on. The playoffs, for what it's worth, begin May 22nd. The Bucks will finish up the regular season on May 16th at Chicago. We will step aside, come back, and wrap up the program. Our final segment of Bucks Talk coming up in just a few minutes. Try and fix some technical issues as well. We'll do it all, hopefully, in a couple minutes here on Bucks Talk.
You're listening to Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all. Welcome back to Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all.
Williamson, baseline, knocked away. It's on the floor. Giannis has it. Giannis driving full throttle to the basket for a slam. 128-105.
Bucks close it out tonight, 129-125, a victory over the New Orleans Pelicans. I tell you what, if they ever play in a series, of course it would be the NBA Finals. Defense optional tonight. 254 combined points, 511 combined points in the two matchups this season. This was the only time that the New Orleans Pelicans will visit Fiserv Forum. Welcome back in. It's Bucks Talk. Greg Matzik still trying to reconnect with Justin Garcia. Greg Hill producing the program. Thanks to those listening out in Madison, in Milwaukee, on the flagship. Appreciate you being part of our program each and every night. Also, keep in mind you can check out archives of Bucks Talk at WisconsinOnDemand.com. It's all free. Download the Wisconsin On Demand app. There you go. You'll see all sorts of content. Great stuff, including Bucks Talk and some of our favorite programming, Wildy and Tausch and so on. Time to run the give and go. Let's do it here. Let's run the give.
One possession each. 24 seconds on the shot clock. What is the play? He designs.
Uh-oh.
These guys discuss. It's time to run the give and go.
All right, so we'll start here. I know we kind of covered it, but just a specific question I want to ask. Dante DiVincenzo, obviously, well, he was playing so well, he forced DJ Shauna to play temperature by Sean Paul in the arena after hitting his 4-3, also eclipsing a career high, notching 24 points tonight. What is your level of surprise from this outing from Dante, and should we expect this type of play, or at least close to it, moving forward, especially without Jrue Holiday?
So to me, it's like a sign of his ceiling. Like, you know, early on, he's knocking down shots. I mean, he's hitting at like a 46% clip from three, and that came back to earth. I get it. You put DJ Augustine in the starting lineup, and now Dante's able to do a little bit more off the ball. And I thought tonight, they start a jumbo package, essentially, with Dante at point guard, Bobby Portis is in the starting lineup. And I'm thinking, all right, well, he's going to have to be an assist man tonight. And he was kind of an everything man tonight. I mean, he was a scorer. He had 9 assists. He was active on defense like he always is. In the passing lane, key offensive rebound late, draws the charge. It's just, I mean, it's incredible stuff tonight. I mean, maybe the game of the year for Dante, just given the situation that if I'm looking at the lineup here, you start Giannis, Middleton, Lopez, Portis. None of those guys are a true guard. Thanasis comes off the bench. So does Pat and Brim. Both those guys are more shooting guards. Sam Merrill got 8 minutes as well, although I don't think he was ever recognized by Marv Albert. So, what Dante did tonight I thought was really impressive, given that he had to run the point along with everything else he did. So it didn't affect his game not having Jrue Holiday or DJ Augustine available.
As long as Marv didn't call Sam Merrill, John Shire, I think we're okay. Lakers?
No, do you know what happened there?
No,
do you know what happened?
I heard there were some flubs going on, but I'm not sure on the specifics.
So this is what happened. My guess is that Marv thought Sam Merrill was Pat Connaughton, because I even looked and I was like, oh, Sam Merrill's in the game. Where did this come from? So Merrill hoisted up a 3 and missed, and it was just a long pause from Marv. Like, he didn't say anything. He just didn't say anything. And then the ball went back the other way. Later, I think, in that stretch of time prior to break, Marv said, DJ Wilson checking in for the first time.
Ooh!
Sam Merrill was not... I don't even know if he was on the stat sheet for Marv tonight, but... gosh darn it, the heck anyway. Guy can't catch a break. Back to you.
Soon. So all the time is coming. Lakers, Bucks, and they kind of are related right now. The Lakers in the midst of a losing streak. Now, I'm not sure if you guys agree or feel this, but as when the Bucks were in their 5-game losing streak, it felt like the sky was falling, at least here in Milwaukee. And obviously the Lakers are in a 4-game losing streak right now, puts them in third place in the Western Conference. Lakers had tonight off, but they host the Trailblazers tomorrow. Now, it doesn't seem to me that there's too much panicking going on in Los Angeles. What's the difference? Like, national talking about the Lakers, but it seems to be more of a LeBron problem than a Lakers problem. I may be wrong. But do you think there is some troubled feelings in L.A., or do Lakers fans take any comfort in playing the wait for the postseason card?
I would. I mean, who won the championship last year? Yeah, that's me. I'm back.
Oh, hey, guy.
Welcome back.
They still don't have AD, right? I mean, they're still like, oh, by the way, I mean, he's still out. No, the Lakers, the Bucks, there's probably, what would you say, Justin, 4 teams, maybe 5, that can legitimately look at this and say it's a marathon. We get it. There's going to be lumps along the way, and people will hyperanalyze and put the Lakers in a microscope because of the Lakers. To a lesser degree, they'll do that with the Bucks. Yeah, but the Nets, the Bucks, the Lakers... They're in that category of team where it just there's a second season, and that's the focus. Be right when it really counts. Now, if you're not right going into the postseason, then it's okay. There's some discussion to be had. But Clippers are they in that mix too, Justin?
I think so, and I think if it was the Clippers that were going through this 4-game losing streak now, then it would probably have a much different feel where it's, here's some of the issues they have now, and remember how we saw this team close out in the playoffs. We should probably be worried. So the fact that the Lakers won the championship last year and have the guy in LeBron who has been the poster child for turning on in the playoffs is, I think, what alleviates that concern.
Okay, now let me ask you this. Should there be more concern with Boston? Because out of nowhere, they've kind of taken a tumble here. Because it's a well-coached team. They've got young stars. I typically expect them to be among the top 4 in the Eastern Conference with the collection of talent they have. But I'm sensing there should be a little bit more worry there.
I would be very concerned if I was a fan of or around the Boston Celtics. And, you know, I thought when we gave our predictions before the year, they were going to finish towards the bottom of the Eastern Conference, because outside of that duo, of Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, there isn't a whole lot there. That, you know, we've seen Kemba Walker's health issues, and the knee does not look the same. Marcus Smart can never stay healthy throughout a full season. He's great, but he can never play a full season, and they just have nobody on the interior to protect the paint, and that bench is atrocious. The thing about Brad Stevens that you pointed out, well-coached team, you know, I really think what we've seen the last few years, too, is Brad Stevens does a really good job with those underdog teams and the teams that you have to coach. But when you coach guys that start to ascend to the next level, like a Jason Tatum, and we're seeing Jaylen Brown do it this year, that's different of what's asked of you. And Kyrie Irving in previous years, it's different coaching those guys than it is to get the young guys that are trying to carve out a spot in the rotation. They're eager for coaching where you can really excel with that group. It's two different things. And I think we've seen Brad Stevens really struggle coaching the stars the last few years.
Next.
Two quick questions. Second half of the season, benefiting our New York Knickerbockers, getting more national TV time. The delayed release of the second half of the schedule allows kind of for that flexibility in non-committal games from a national TV standpoint. Could either of you guys see a delayed second schedule release be the norm in the NBA?
God, I hope not. This has given me an ulcer. This whole waiting on this. Like, for those keeping score at home, I do a lot of the scheduling work around some of our sports, play-by-play teams and broadcasts on our family of networks. And I certainly hope that we do not have to wait on a second-half schedule like we did this year. Because this caused me to buy ulcer medication. Some drama built in. But personally, no, I do not want to see this happen anymore.
I would be intrigued if you could figure out unique ways to do it where you kind of adopted some of the similar practices we see with tables in soccer. And if you just said, okay, we're taking the standings for the first half of the season and we're awarding points and then we're reformatting the schedule for the second half where, I mean, the league would never do it because who would want to watch these games? But, hey, if you're the bottom third, you're only playing each other. And if you're in the two-thirds, the top there, you're only playing each other. Where it's basically what we saw in the bubble. And, again, why was the bubble so great? Well, the offense was good, and we didn't see the eight worst teams in the league. If you can figure out a way to avoid that, great. Let's do this type of scheduling every year.
So I was talking about the second-half schedule, though I don't really know if anybody heard me. I don't know if I was even on the air, but nonetheless. I think the second-half schedule for the Bucks, and I'm sure it is for other teams too, this is relentless, man. Like, it's like six times they play four games in six nights, and they've got this 9 out of 10 stretch on the road with every team except, what, two from the Western Conference. They got a home game in the middle of it where they can do some laundry against the Charlotte Hornets, but Clippers, Lakers, Portland, Sacramento, Golden State, Dallas, all on the road. Home game against Charlotte. Then back on the road at Orlando, Minnesota, and Atlanta. And then all of a sudden your taxes are due. Like, that is just a nuts stretch. Biggest takeaways for you, Justin?
Big takeaways is that stretch that you alluded to, and it's going to be life on the road in April where there's only four home games. And as I was talking with DJ Wilson today, who apparently Marv Albert was too, he had said, look, we got a stretch where I think we're on the road for 18 straight days that I'm going to have to bring my Xbox with me because we don't know what the protocols are going to be in the second half as well, that we don't know if these guys are going to be, if it's going to loosen up a little bit or if it's going to be more of the same of stay in your hotel and maybe watch movies. So DJ said, you know, I'm looking forward to in the second half playing some video games because we have some long road trips.
He might be able to do that on the sidelines, actually. No, I kid because I care. Back-to-backs with Brooklyn, that shows up. If you're going to be gone for 18 days on the road, what's the one item you're going to have to bring with you? 18-day road trip.
I need my cell phone, I would think. We're taking that out of the mix because that should be everybody's answer. Man, what would I take? I guess, wouldn't you have to cheat and say, like, your iPad? Because that would basically be a larger cell phone. It would have everything on there, like books. You can watch TV shows. I mean, nobody's just bringing one book with them for 18 days.
Well, I just didn't know if you would, like, you know, bring an air fryer or something like that. You know, crisp up some hash browns or something in your hotel room. I mean, there's not a lot you can do, right? I mean, you're going to be gone you that long. Honestly, it's not like you're spending time on the town.
All right. So going with that logic, I would probably bring my own coffee maker because I am a bit of a coffee snob, and some of the hotel coffee is very hit or miss. Maybe you don't want to go and walk and find the nearest Starbucks or Dunkin', or you just don't have time. So I guess I would bring my own coffee maker.
I don't even know if they're allowed to leave. Like, you can't even send a rookie to go get your coffee or DJ. That's too bad. 129-125, the final. We will have another Bucks Talk coming up following Sunday's game against the Clippers. Should be an entertaining one. It is an afternoon game, so keep an eye on the schedule here. A 2:30 tip from Fiserv Forum. Might it be a finals preview? Hey, who knows? But regardless, a good team coming to town as the Bucks look to make it 5 in a row. I'm Greg Matzik. He's Justin Garcia. Thanks to Greg Hill for producing the program tonight. Catch full podcast episodes of Bucks Talk online at WisconsinOnDemand.com. Or the free Wisconsin On Demand app. All of the content is free. Just subscribe and whatever you like to do, Titcher, Twitcher, Twitter, Twatter, whatever it's called, you can listen to us and enjoy doing it. Good night on Bucks Talk.